Hello. If you were here with us last week, you'll know that we're in the second of two sermons on the subject of Advent, which is that period in the church calendar where we are now, before Christmas, where we remember and reaffirm our belief that Jesus Christ will return one day. We know from the scriptures that Jesus promised his disciples that he would return one day to put an end to sin and evil and death and to begin a new reign, a new era of peace and justice. And the thing is, though, is that we've been waiting for, 2,000 years now, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. And I wonder if you're anything like me in that sometimes when you hear something really terrible, perhaps you've been reading the news and you think, oh, wow, Lord Jesus, I really, I think you ought to come back soon because I'm not sure we're going to be able to keep going for very much longer. But then sometimes I think I go the other way in that I can lose momentum in my faith because I forget about Jesus and I forget that he cares about me and that he cares about the decisions that I make. And it's easy, isn't it, to just crack on with life the way that we want it to be. But Jesus knows that it's easy for us to lose direction in our journey with Jesus. And that's why he told his disciples a story that we're going to look at now in Matthew 24, which is about helping us to live in a way that is spiritually on point. And so I'm just going to read now from Matthew 24, verse 45. This is Jesus speaking. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "My master is staying away a long time." And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus tells here the story of two servants. Each is put in charge of their master's house while he's away, with no clear return date. One servant continues to work faithfully, the other doesn't. He starts to think that perhaps the master will never return, and he begins to neglect his work and mistreat his colleagues. And it's a sobering story, which is meant to lead us to examine the way that we live. And the question it asks us is, while we wait for Jesus' return, what is the life that he would have us be getting on with now? What is the best life we could be living from Jesus' perspective? Well, the story is clear that we are to live expectant, looking forward to meeting Jesus face to face and being with him forever. Jesus never told his followers when he would return. In fact, he actually said that they would never be able to guess when he would return. But this story makes clear that he will return. So we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus hasn't come back yet. All it means is that he will come back and he hasn't come back yet. But if we are to live expectant, what is it exactly that we should expect? This story tells us that we are to expect to be held accountable. When the master returns to his house, he holds each servant to account. And that means that each one of us can expect to be held to account by God. Now that sounds a bit daunting, doesn't it? But it's important to remember that for Christians, this is actually really good news. Because Jesus has taken away any punishment that we deserve. And we will meet a God who has our best interests at heart and who will even reward us for our partnership with him in this life. And it also brings us freedom now because we don't have to worry about the judgments that other people make on us because God's evaluation of our life is the only one that will count at the end of the day. But if we are to be held to account, what are we to be held to account for? What is it that Jesus is looking for? This story makes clear that what Jesus wants from us as we live these expectant lives is that we live faithful lives. The servant who is commended by the master is described as faithful and wise. He is trustworthy and carries out the responsibilities allotted to him, looking after the needs of those who rely on him. What might that mean for us? And how can we possibly manage to be faithful in the way that Jesus wants, with all the challenges and temptations of life? Here's a suggestion. Why not take this Christmas time to review the different areas of your life, your different relationships and responsibilities? You may be a friend, a child, a spouse, parent, grandparent, manager, employee. How are all those relationships going? Is one relationship or one area of responsibilities squeezing out another? What might it mean for you to grow in wisdom, in faithfulness, in these relationships? What might it mean for you to better serve each of these people in your life? Why not use your commute home today to think through some of these relationships and ask yourself, if you knew that Jesus was to return in 2021, what changes would you start making now or for the beginning of 2020? And if you're anything like me, if something comes to mind that needs to change, or you see there could be an exciting opportunity to make a difference for Jesus ahead, it's so easy, isn't it, to feel daunted or to think, but this situation could never change. I can't change. Jesus isn't looking for perfection from us. He's looking for honest hearts that are looking to him for guidance, acknowledging our weakness, trusting him to help us. So let's ask him for the grace, strength, and wisdom that we need to live expectantly and faithfully this Advent. Amen.